Good morning, everyone. All right. Thanks, Ed. Congratulations to all the graduates. Happy to be here this morning to bring the message. And as I thought about kind of what to preach on this morning, a lot of different things went through my mind and went back and forth. And I tend to get like really creative sometimes. And then I realized that during this season of life that things are really busy. And so I had to kind of back off on some of the things I was thinking about doing. What I did start to think about, and as I was praying, God kind of laid on my heart, is I started thinking about some things that during this season of ministry that have come up consistently and things that I've heard kind of come out of the students' mouths in terms of what they're experiencing in life. And so one of the things that I hear them talk about a lot is kind of their use of time. And a meaning that they don't have a lot of it, or they feel like they don't have a lot of it. The sense of, hey, you know, I only have time. I have like five different things I could be doing. Which one should I do, right? And just making those choices. And they're going to have to obviously continue to do that. And obviously, as adults, we struggle with that as well. And so I thought I'd talk this morning about priorities, because I think priorities in many ways are what helps us make those choices, decide how we're going to use our time in those moments. And so that's really where I decided to go. And for students, I think as you get older, priorities become more and more important. We start to kind of solidify those priorities. What's going to be most important to me as I look at my life, as I look at where I'm headed? What's most important? What's going to direct that? Especially for those that are graduating as you go off to college. I think college is definitely one of those places where, for sure, we really start to solidify or maybe even clarify what our priorities are. Right? Because it's there that a lot of times our priorities are really tested. And we start to really see, well, what is it that my priorities really are? Because sometimes in an environment like this, it can be maybe a little easy and there's not as many challenges. And so when we go off and we start to get more and more freedom, we start to really see what our priorities really are. And I think it's something that we need to pay attention to, especially, again, students as you're heading off to college and those that are working, graduating from college, heading into the workforce. And of course, as adults as well, we need to obviously check our priorities as well. And we need to remember that the students, they learn in many ways by watching what we're doing, more than what we're saying. And so this morning's message is definitely just as much for us as it is for them. So we're going to talk a little bit about what our priorities should be, talk about how they shape our choices, and then how we solidify those priorities. So I thought I'd start off, though, we're talking a little bit. I think little kids always give us an interesting perspective on things. And so I'm just going to show you a few things. The question for these kids wasn't what's your priority. That's a big word. But I think it kind of speaks to maybe what some of their priorities are. So we're going to run through a few of these just to kind of take a look. So here's the first one. Probably can't read it very well. I don't know. But I will read it to you. So it says, if my house was on fire, I would save my mozzarella cheese sticks because it is my favorite food. And I would do anything for them. Also, because I love the sauce that goes with it. My will is in the cheese club. Nothing is better than cheese. All right, pretty clear what priority there. All right, next one here. Says, what do you want to do? He says, I want to play computer games. I want to, no. I think it's very clear. He just wants to play computer games. All right. Not sure that this is all that different from some of the teens maybe in the audience right now. I might want to replace that with Fortnite. But gets the basic same idea across. All right, next one. If I had $100, I would get a desk. I would do my homework on it. I would eat bananas. All right, he's got his priorities down. All right, next one here. If I were president, I would get free food. All right, seems to be a theme happening here, right? Notice a lot of food discussion, all right? I am Mason, I like chicken nuggets. All right, this is actually one of my favorites, these last two here. So. This one says, I am thankful for bacon. I can eat bacon whenever it is possible. Bacon will always stand by my side and be helpful when I am in the mood for bacon. I always feel happy when bacon is on my plate. All right. My favorite line in that is, bacon will always stand by my side. I don't know. Parent might want to be a little concerned personifying bacon, but, you know, whatever. All right, and then we got our last one here. This one going to... What are the three things you want to do in the future? I want to get a girlfriend, kiss her, and rule the world. Right. Sounds about right. John, you gave me that one, right? John, yeah? All right. So So what is a priority? So if we were to look up priority in a dictionary, it would say the fact or condition of being regarded or treated as more important, right? So the act of being regarded, so the way we think, and then, or treated, meaning the way that the things that we're going to do. So basically, what shapes your choices and actions? That's what we're talking about when we talk about priorities, the things that shape what we do, the things we think about, the things we see, the things that we do. And so that's what we're going to focus on a little bit today. So Tom Landry, who many of you I'm sure know, was a great football coach. He's been quoted as saying, in 1958, I did something everyone who has been successful must do. I determined my priorities for my life. God, family, and then football. Now, my list is pretty similar, and I'll get to that in a minute. But one of the things that's interesting, he says, I did something everyone who has been successful must do. Pointing at the importance of kind of figuring out what your priorities are. And by successful, sometimes we're afraid of that word success because we think of it kind of from a worldly perspective. So here we're talking about kind of living our best life possible, the life that God intended for us to live, right, is really what we're speaking about here. And it's interesting because, so for those of you that don't know, so I have my own business as a business consultant, so I help people grow their business and things. And one of the first things I do when I'm meeting with a client for the first time is I sit down with them and I ask them, what is it that you really want, right? What's the life that you're looking to try to build? What's most important to you? Because the reality is anything we're going to do in your business should be shaped by that first, not the other way around, right? And so we need to understand our priorities. That's true in business. And in many ways, it's very true for our students here today. They need to decide what's most important. And then let that shape every aspect of your life. Right? And we need to do the same thing as adults. What are our priorities? What's most important? Just as I talk to those clients, I say, what's most important in terms of shaping your business? What's most important that's going to shape your life? Shape your life. So my list is similar to Tom's in terms of priorities. And I call it the four F's, which may not be the best illustration for Student Sunday. Hopefully no one's going home with four F's, right? But that's it just kind of works out that way. Those are faith, family, friends, and function. All right, so faith, we have to be careful that works. It's very broad, but we're talking about obviously loving God, putting God first. God is everything, right? Then family, right, our family, that one's clear. Friends, I'm not talking just like your best friends, I'm talking your neighbors, the idea of kind of loving your neighbor kind of concept, right? And then function is the role that you have, maybe your job as a student, maybe it's as an athlete or whatever it is, the functions that you have in life, the roles that you play in life. And I think, you know, pretty close to kind of what we'd be looking at. You might change a couple things around, but that's where we end up in terms of our priorities. Now, I want to look at these in reverse order for a second and start with function, and then we'll kind of get to the other ones with one verse. So in terms of function, we're going to look at Colossians 3:23-24. And it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know what you will receive, an inheritance from the Lord as a reward is the Lord Christ you are serving. So let's break this down a little bit in terms of our function. So first is whatever you do. So whatever you do, right, whether you're an employee, whether you're a student, whether you're an athlete, whether you're in the drama club, whatever it is, whatever role that you're playing, whatever you do. So that's the first thing in everything that we do. And then the second part, it says, work at it with all your heart. Give your best, right? Give your best. My kids are probably sick of that phrase right there because I say that phrase probably about 100 times a day. Tell them to give their best at whatever that they do, okay? And that's what this is talking about. Give your best. Then it goes on, and third, it says, as working for the Lord. Right, and I think that's a really important piece in there because it's not giving your best just kind of out of your own strength, your own power for yourself or anything like that, right? It's as working for the Lord, right? So almost kind of picture as if, like, Jesus was your boss or Jesus was your coach, or whatever, like what kind of an effort are you going to give? How much of your heart are you going to put into that? I think it'd change things a little bit for us, and I think that's really what God's looking for from us. And the truth is how we do those things, that's going to give other people around us a picture of who God is. Right? So we're an athlete, or we're, again, in drama club, or we're an employee, or whatever. How we do those things for a lot of people is going to be their first exposure to who God is. And we need to remember that. All right, so our function is a priority, but it's not necessarily at the top of the list. So this next text that we're going to look at kind of speaks to faith, family, and friends. We have Matthew 22, 36 through 40. It says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So a lot of us have heard this. And I think this really gets at kind of the order of priorities in our life in many ways. So it says in here, the greatest commandment, the first and greatest commandment. Again, and kind of we see that in here, right? So the first and greatest is to love God with all that you are, everything that you are. Loving him. And that word greatest is really important. The greatest, when we say something's the greatest, that means nothing's better, right? It's the greatest. Now, we overuse that word, right? We'll talk about like, oh, that was the greatest pizza or the greatest cake, or clearly I need to eat healthier. I'm going to all those foods. But anyways, right? We rarely do we say the greatest salad. I got to work on that maybe. But all right. So this word greatest, though, it has a sense of being the best. There's nothing better, right? Nothing better. That's it. It's ahead of everything else. It's the greatest. Loving God, putting him first. And then the second is like it, but it's the second, right? And that's to love your neighbor, to love people, to love people. And so in terms of our priorities, the greatest priority is loving God, loving him, putting him first. And the second, loving people, family, friends. Now, ultimately, what that means is everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we think should be through the filter of loving God, right? All of it should be shaped by your love of God, right? So at the top, like we said, is faith, and you could put love of God in there, and then everything should filter down from there, right? So we go from faith to family to friends to function. What that means is my faith, my love of God should permeate all those other areas, should shape all those other areas of my life in every way. Right? So when I think about how I'm going to treat my family and how I'm going to love my family, that should be impacted by my love of God. When I think about how I'm going to treat others or how I'm going to love others, how I'm going to act at work or as an athlete or as a student, that should be impacted by my love of God. All directed, all shaped by that. Loving God basically makes it all fall into place, right? If we put loving God first, the reality is these other priorities, they'll fall in place if we love him. Now, unfortunately, we're all a little bit broken, right? And I don't know about you, but I know I'm not loving God perfectly, and I'm pretty confident that none of you are. If you are, I'd love to meet you and learn more about how to do that. Pretty sure that we fall short. We're broken. And in reality, a lot of times we get distracted. We get distracted from that number one priority or what that number one priority should be. Even as I prepared this message, I got distracted. There's times when I was preparing and I was thinking about, hey, you know what? I hope they really like this illustration. Or man, I hope this really challenges them, right? And I started thinking about those things and I'd catch myself and I'd be like, it's not about that. It's not bad that I hope that you get challenged and you know like certain things, but the point is that's not what it's about. And so I had to stop myself and just pray for a moment, be like, God, this is about you. What do you want me to share? What do you want these words to be? Because that's most important, right? So even in my own prep, I can get distracted from what's most important, what the priority is. And there's a lot of things that distract us, students and adults. There's a lot of things that distract us. A great example of this distraction that we're talking about here is found in Luke 10, 38 through 42. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So in this passage, do we think that Jesus was telling Martha to never take care of the house? Like, that should never be a priority. Think that's what's happening here? Probably not, right? Okay. Do we think that Jesus was telling Mary, "Hey, you know what? You should never be helping Martha with the house. Just, you know, follow me around, just read your Bible, just pray, don't do anything else"? Of course not. Right? Not the point. The point is at that moment, if Martha's priorities were straight, she would realize that if her number one priority is to love God, to put him first, God was right there in her very presence, right? And she had the opportunity to nail at his feet and learn and listen to what he had to share. But she was distracted. She was distracted. I mean, it's hard for us to imagine, but imagine, like, you know, Jesus, like, coming to your house to hang out, right? And you're just like, okay, yeah, you know what, Jesus, here, sit down over here on the couch, like, hang out with the rest of my family. I'm going to go, like, clean up and take care of everything. And then, like, a couple hours goes by because you're so focused on cleaning up, and then Jesus is gone. Missed a pretty important moment, right? The best thing at that moment, the priority, was to sit at the feet of Jesus, to love him and learn from him. Again, Martha was distracted. And it wasn't a distract in the sense of, like, a, you know, a squirrel moment, like a squirrel and then I'm back. Wasn't that kind of thing, right? It was a continuous distraction, right? So, and we can pick that up a little bit, and I won't get all geeky on you here, but in the Greek here, this is an imperfect tense, right? Has this idea of continuous action, okay? And so the distraction is an ongoing distraction. It wasn't like she was distracted once and then back to Jesus. It was ongoing distraction, right? And we even kind of get this from here, right? You're worried and upset about many things. Like, she's so focused on all this other stuff that she's missing what's right in front of her. Students, you find yourself doing that sometimes. I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of students in this last season of ministry, last 6 months, and they're flustered. What do I do with my time? Where do I go? Where do I be? And does that sometimes distract us from what's most important? I talk to a lot of adults, and it's the same conversation, right? I'm so busy. I have so many things. I don't know if I should do this or I should do this, and does it distract us from what's most important? It's really a question for each one of us. What's distracting you? What is it that's distracting you? Now, I'm going to start off. I put together a couple of little lists here. First, for students. So maybe these are some of the things that might be distracting you. And you noticed in many ways there's some similarities here. But popularity, acceptance, right? It's a big one. Right? As we're growing up, we're worried about what other people think. Students think about it all the time. And here's your deal, too. For some of you, might think, like, no, I'm different. I'm kind of like with that outside crowd, you know, those like 8 or 9 people that are like really cool and we don't worry about what everyone thinks. But guess what? Sometimes you worry a lot about what those 8 or 9 people think. And the same thing can happen. That can still be a distraction. Grades. I know a lot of people that are stressed out about grades. My son's one of them. And it's good to get good grades. Like I said, we talked about giving our best, right? That's a good thing. But can it become all-consuming so that we lose sight of what's most important? And that's it's a balance. That's something we got to pray about. And that's why we got to be putting God first so that he can help us with that balance. Athletics, clubs, being an athlete, those kinds of things, we see it all the time. And again, nothing wrong with those things. But is God first in it? Talk about that in a minute. Pursuit of success, and this time I do mean success in the worldly sense, right? It's a big thing. And there's nothing wrong with being successful, even from a worldly sense. There's nothing wrong with that. But if that overtakes what's most important, that's an issue. Our identity. Identity is a big one, and that kind of goes into the popularity acceptance. Who am I? And sometimes we allow other people to start to define that for us rather than our relationship with God. And then for adults, the list really isn't that different, right? We worry about popularity and acceptance as well, right? Man, want to be the cool dad or cool mom, right? Want to be liked by your neighbors, right? Always wondering what people are thinking about you or saying about you, those kinds of things. We get distracted as well. Being a good employee, a good worker. Nothing wrong with being a good worker. But do we get consumed with that where it's a distraction? Our health, being a parent. I skipped over health really quick because clearly I got to work on that one too. But being a parent, I know that's definitely actually one I struggle with for sure. Like I think it's great to be a good parent, but sometimes do we get so consumed with it that we're missing sight of what's most important? Right? Is it a distraction? Are we looking over here, so focused on this, that we're missing what God's trying to do? And again, the pursuit of success certainly continues to follow us throughout our life a lot of times. And then our identity. I don't know about you, but I've talked to a lot of 40, 45, 50-year-olds that are like, I'm still trying to figure out who I am and what I'm supposed to do. And sometimes when we're in that spot, sometimes we let other things influence more than God. Now, so all these things could potentially be distractions. The real issue, though, is not the distraction, because we're going to get distracted and kind of do that squirrel moment for every now and then. The problem is, though, is when that distraction becomes the new priority. So sometimes maybe it's friends. It's what other people are thinking about us. And that becomes the priority. So that all the things that we do, so remember we talked about our relationship with God should shape everything else. Well, now it's our friends. It's the people that are around us that now are shaping the choices that we're making and the direction that we're going. And certainly something that students struggle with. But again, something that we as adults struggle with as well. And then sometimes maybe we put our function before our faith, our function before loving God, right? So for adults, maybe that's your job. And what happens is maybe initially your heart's in the right place. Like, I want to work hard. I want to be a good employee. But then suddenly you look back and you realize, hey, you know what? That now has taken first place over faith and family. And we all know that destroys families. For students, putting that function before God maybe has to do with being an athlete, maybe it has to be a student. Whatever it is that you're pursuing, maybe that thing becomes the most important thing and it shapes everything else that you're going to do. And that can be really, really dangerous. See, the thing is, I guess, is we also can add priorities too. And so at the end here, self. And many, the reality is that self kind of can fill into all of these, right? It's kind of what I want, what I'm looking for. And we have to be really careful of that to not replace our love of God with kind of putting myself before that. What is it that I want? It's got to be, what does God want? Because the reality is God loves us way more than we're probably ever going to really completely understand. And he knows way more what's best for us than we do. And that's a reality. And so when we put him first, in many ways, we're kind of putting ourselves first, right? In that sense, because we know God and trust God that he's going to take care of us. So much of our faith story is found in setting our priorities. The first of which is, of course, loving God. Or I should say the greatest of which is loving God. Nothing better. So again, God up top, and it shapes everything else. It shapes our family. It shapes the way we are with our friends. It shapes our jobs, everything. So think a little bit about what we see in Scripture. So just a couple of quick examples here. So Mary pouring expensive perfume on Jesus' feet. Loving God was more important than financial gain. It shaped the choice that she made there. Paul placed in jail for sharing the gospel. Loving God was more important than safety. Abraham willing to sacrifice Isaac, which is one I really struggle with. I'm not sure about you, but loving God was more important than family. Jesus hanging out with sinners at Levi's party. Loving God was more important than social acceptance. And in this case, social acceptance was coming from the religious leaders of the day. So we need to remember that, because sometimes the influence can be what appears to be good, and sometimes it's not. We got to put God first. Jesus sacrificing himself on the cross. Loving God the Father was more important than his own life. And we need to understand that. We got to understand that in Jesus' humanness, he didn't want to suffer, right? We see him in the garden, and he's struggling. He's struggling. In his humanness, he did not want to suffer. But what does he end up saying? He says, not my will, but your will be done. Right? What's his priority? To fulfill the call on his life. To love God in that moment where he knows he's about to be sacrificed. That's putting God first. So the question for you guys is, what's shaping your life? What is really shaping your life? When you really step back and look at it, what's shaping it? So how then do we make God our number one priority? Because we've said that's clearly kind of at the top here. So first, just a few things. I'm going to run through these quick, so otherwise this could be another sermon in of itself. But first, we need to form good habits. Okay, and we've all heard that. You get it, right? Prayer, Bible study, quiet time. Spending time with God, actually being with him in his presence, communicating with him on a regular and consistent basis. Forming those good habits. For those of you that are headed off to college and things like that and getting to a point where you have more freedom in your life, this is so important. Because you're going to have a lot of other things influencing you, as you already do probably in high school and other situations. And if you're not constantly being filled, you're going to get distracted. And forming these good habits is very, very important. And I put in here quiet time because I want to emphasize that, yeah, prayer, Bible study, it's all good and it's all part of quiet time. But sometimes, too, just make sure that when you're spending time with God, you're taking time to be quiet sometimes, because we need to listen to God, too. Right, not just go through those motions of reading our Bible and pray. Okay, I read my Bible, I prayed, I did my thing, check it off the list. Okay, I'm good. Quiet time, spending time with God is two ways. It's not just about us getting our stuff off our chest. It's about a communication and a relationship. So that's what we mean by quiet time. All right, so making God your number one priority. Number two, find faithful friends. So I'll start off with the adults first, and then I'll go back to the students. All right. So here's your deal is, it's great. If you come here on Sunday mornings, that's awesome. But you need more than that. Just being straight with you. Find a small group, find a Bible study, do something, build some relationships. Because if you're just influenced 1 hour a week, an hour and a half a week here at church, that's a lot of other hours that you might be influenced in another direction where you might get distracted. We need each other. We're all weak. Right? So if you haven't taken that step and you've been thinking about it, do it. Get involved in a small group. Get involved in a Bible study. Build those relationships. Find those friends. For students, I can't overemphasize this enough. I think Derek or Daryl said it. When you go off, for those of you that are going off to college, find a church right away. Right away. Because if you don't do it right away, you'll get distracted, and eventually it'll go to the bottom of your list. If there's a Christian group on campus or something, get involved right away. I don't care how busy you are. I don't care if you're playing Division I sports. I don't care what you're doing. Find some good friends. Find some faithful friends that will challenge you, that will keep you from the distractions, because there is going to be distractions. We need that. God created us for community, and we need to be there for one another. And then third is foresee the distractions. Okay, now what I mean by this, I don't mean literally like, you know, foretell the future, okay, I'm going to screw up here, I'm going to screw up here. I don't mean that, okay? What I'm talking about here is kind of acknowledging your weakness. right? Acknowledging that, yeah, you're broken in some way and that you're going to have temptations just like everybody else and that there's things that could distract you. Because here's the deal is when we're willing to say that, we're more willing to find faithful friends. We're more willing to form those good habits because we realize how much we need them. If we just go into it like, I'm good, I'm like super Christian, nothing can break through this. We do that, we're not going to be looking for those other things. And I've seen it a lot, and I know a lot of you probably have too. And going off to college is definitely one of those significant times where if you go into it with the mindset of like, I'm good, I got this, I'm strong, you're going to struggle. I believe that. And you need to be prepared for that. You need to be honest for that. That going off to college thing, I'm not quite there yet. My kids are 12 and 14, so I'm a little bit behind those of you that are there. But it's a scary time in many ways. And I'm not trying to scare you more. If you're already scared, I apologize. But it is because it's when they're becoming their own person. And so these things that I just mentioned, they're just so, so important to lay that foundation immediately and just acknowledge how much we need God during that season of our life. So I'm going to summarize all this with a quick illustration here. I do it on time here. All right. Figured I added an illustration since this is Student Sunday. So here I have this nice glass, whatever it is. I don't know what it's called. So vase? Okay, thank you. Appreciate it, Lord. Anyways, so I have some golf balls in here, so I'm going to fill this with some golf balls here. All right. If I do this, it's going to make a mess. All right. Oop. Lost one. It's all right. It's all good. All right, so does that look pretty full? Yeah, we're good. All right. So here we go. These golf balls, they represent God in our life, okay? They represent God in our life. And we want to fill our life as much as possible with God first. Put God in our life first. So fill ourselves up, whether that's every day in our life overall, we want to fill ourselves up with God. Now, there's still room in here, though, right, for our other priorities. So I have some pebbles here. Put some of those in here. Hopefully. This is all easy. I'm making a mess. Sorry, Daryl. Oh. Lost a little bit of God. Sorry. All right, we'll talk about that after. All right, anyways, so okay, I can't get much more in here. I know it doesn't look like it, but I really can't. All right, so anyways, so this would be our family and friends. This would be loving people. But what I want you to notice is as I put that in, what was it shaped by? The golf balls, right? It was shaped by that. It could only go where the golf balls allowed it to go. And there was only a certain amount of space based upon the golf balls, which represents, as we said, God. So see, when we put God first in our life, that next priority, it's shaped by Him. It can only go where God allows it to go. And that's it. Right? Now, there's still some more room. So I have some sand. This could get really messy. Sorry, Daryl. Oh, I brought something for this. I actually had like this fancy thing to catch all this stuff, and I forgot to bring it. So, all right, so I'll throw some sand. I'm not going to get too messy here. Let's just throw a little in there. Yeah, okay. Good enough. You guys get the idea. So that becomes our function. Now, the function, that only can fit where the golf balls and the pebbles aren't, right? So what's that shaped by? First, it's shaped by the golf balls, by God. Then it's shaped by people, by how we love people. So in my function and everything I do, it's shaped by my love of people, right? So this is like the perfect case scenario for us. This is how we want to live our life. Now, the thing is sometimes we don't do it that way. Right? Sometimes we fill our life with sand or pebbles or whatever first. Right? Other things become our priority. And so we fill our life up with some other stuff. And then we try to put God into it. Because this is more important right now. We put God in. But guess what? God can't get very deep, can he? He's just on the surface. And sometimes in our walk with God, that's exactly what it is. We're like, all this important stuff, my job, being a student, being an athlete, so important. I'm focused on this, focused on that. Oh, yeah, and I love God. Yeah, I go to church on Sunday. Yeah, I believe in God. But guess what? It's just on the surface. That's how we're living life sometimes. Because we didn't really put him first. We didn't allow him to shape everything else. And then sometimes what we do is we've maybe done it. We're a pretty solid place. But then suddenly some things, we start getting distracted. We're like, hey, you know what? I think I have this new relationship with this guy or girl. And so I need a little more room, God. So can you like move out of the way a little bit? Because this is becoming more important. And I need more room for these friends and for this person, this new relationship that I have. Ah, now I have more of that. But guess what? Now there's not as much room for God anymore. That's what we do. The point here is, again, is that God, our love of God, needs to shape everything. And it needs to shape everything first. So let me end with these final thoughts here. First, is your love of God shaping every aspect of your life? And be honest. Is it shaping every aspect of your life? Or are there distractions? Are there things that are coming above that? Second, what's distracting you? And what are you going to do about it? What's distracting you? And that second piece, what are you going to do about it, is very important. Right? I know that Daryl and Derek feel this way. It's great to come here on Sunday and hear a message and all that stuff. It's all good. But what's most important is what you do with it after. Always. Always. So if you're aware and you're sitting here thinking, yeah, you know what? There might be some distractions. There's some things I'm putting before God. Start thinking right now and praying about what you're going to do about it. Take action. And then third, kind of grouped together here, what habits do you need to form? Right? Adults, students. Students, you got the summer right now. Form some good habits. Whether you're going off to college, in high school, finishing up college, whatever it is. What friends do you need to find? Again, I already said this with adults. Find a small group, a Bible study, something, somewhere where people can encourage you. Students, for sure, those that are graduating, you should already, before you even go to college, look around and see what churches are around. Find out if there's any Christian groups on campus. Get ready for it ahead of time. Prepare for that. And then what distractions do you foresee? Again, just be honest. Right? Be honest about your weakness and then seek God. Seek God. And that's, again, that's really what it's all about. I mean, we said a lot of different stuff, but really what it comes down to is loving God with everything that we are. Putting that first in our life. Allowing that to shape every area of our life. Do that, good things will happen. And I don't mean in like a life kind of way. I just mean God's going to work. And that's my prayer and hope for each one of you. Prayer for all the adults. My prayer and hope for all the students. That you learn how to put him first. Your love of him first. Let that shape everything. All right, let me pray for us. Father, I come before you now, Lord, and I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for every person who's here. Father, I pray, Lord, that the adults are here, Lord, that they heard whatever it is that you might want to speak to them. Lord, just continue to work on their hearts. Lord, I do pray for the students. Pray for those that are still in school, Lord, just that they're forming these habits, Lord, that they're finding those friends, Lord, and just that they're being real and running to you. I pray for those that have graduated and going off to college. Please, Father, please, I pray, Lord, that you'd protect them. I pray, more importantly, for their protection, Lord, that they would find people that they could put around them that love you. That they would learn to love you and have that permeate every aspect of their life. So Lord, I just pray for each one of us, Lord, just continue to form and make us and mold us into exactly what you want us to be. I just ask all these things in Jesus' name, amen.